I greet you once again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and just want us to take a short reading. It's only one verse, and we are reading from Psalm 139, verse 14. It reads, "I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Let's pray. Father, may you bless your precious word and be the interpreter of it. It's my prayer that you get man out of the way, that you may have your perfect way. Sanctify our ears, our hearts, and even this place, Lord, that we may be able to listen from you, Lord, and you are the only interpreter of your word. Interpret it to us, Lord, that it may minister life to us. Grant it, Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Yeah, praise the name of the Lord. You know, I like how David looked at himself. And it's very, very important how you look at yourself. Because many people look at themselves and will never appreciate themselves. That means they can hardly thank God and praise Him for how He has made them. And because it's when you know how God has made you and what you are, that you appreciate yourself and you begin to praise the Lord and thank the Lord and live the way God wants you to live. Otherwise, if you do not know yourself, you won't even know how to live, and you won't even know how to appreciate the Lord for making you who you are. You may be forced to desire to live like somebody else instead of living the way God wants you to live. Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah, the young man who has come comes from my place. And I was waiting for him in the morning, but he said he just reached when we had already started and the doors were closed. And I believe that's how many will miss the rapture. When you come and find the door is closed and others have gone. Yeah, but you are welcome. Amen. He's like a son to me in faith, and he has been this way. But I think failing to find where to maybe find fellowship, but I think now he knows. Hopefully he will try to be making it. Amen. So David in himself, no wonder the Lord says he found a man after his own heart. And then we see the qualities that were in David. He looked at himself and recognized or appreciated how God made him. He never envied to be like any other person. He wanted to be what God made him to be, and he started to appreciate him. And in fact, when a Christian looks at himself and knows that God has made him what he is, and God is happy to see him the way he is, then you live to appreciate God. And you will never desire to live a life outside what God designed you to be. You'll always seek to be in His will. You'll always seek to walk in His will. You'll always seek, yes, to do what God is happy to see you do. Amen. So David looked at himself and then he said, I will praise thee. And when he's talking of praising God, he looks at himself and then he says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So he appreciated the way God created him. And he knew it was a real fearful way that God designed him, made him to be. You know, God created you in his own image, in his own likeness. And there is nothing better than what God has made you to be. Praise the name of the Lord. So, and with that, then he says, marvelous are your works. And then he said, and that my soul knoweth right well. Amen. So this made his soul realize what he was. It drove him into praising God as he realized how fearfully and wonderfully God had made him. He saw a marvelous work and appreciated it greatly. And you see, when you know that this is what God has made, it is so wonderful, you will never think of perverting it. You will never think of taking it the wrong way. You will cherish it, you will value it, and you will want it to be preserved the way God has made it. You will put a touch, special respect to that. And so when you realize God has made you in such a glorious, marvelous way, you will never desire to live a perverted life. You will never desire to live anything outside God's life. Because you know what God has created in such a glorious way, and we know the Bible says by faith we acknowledge that all were made by the word of God. Then you will know that what the word has made is preserved by the same word, is kept by the same word. Praise God. And that's what David knew quite well. He says he realized how fearfully and wonderfully God had made him. He saw a marvelous work and appreciated it greatly. He began, he saw it in himself. And this made him appreciate every work, even that God had made. You see, naturally, man wants to know how he looks like. And cares much about it. You care about how you look like. He wants to know how beautiful he is and how smart and clean he is. He is even happy when he's told how good he looks like. Amen. But what if somebody comes and tells you, you look good here, look, but within you, you don't feel it. You'll still be a miserable person. You have to see it yourself. Acknowledge it yourself. Appreciate it yourself. Amen. That's what David said. If you don't, you'll still not be very happy about how you are, how you look like. And that's why many want to try to live what they are not. See? Because they are not appreciating themselves. They are not happy with the way God has made them. That's why they will try to design themselves different way. They try to tattoo all their bodies. They are not happy how they look like. See? They try to design themselves in a different manner. They try to apply. You look at people. Why do you think they try to apply paints up, try to apply all kinds of colors? They try to paint themselves, you know, like Jezebels. Why do you think they dress the way they are not meant to dress and appear the way they ought not to appear? It's because within them, That is what they hear telling them, you are not good. Huh? You are not beautiful. You are not what you want to be. And so because of that, you can't even live a happy life, a contented life. You want to make yourself what you feel you should be, and yet it will be contrary to how God wants you to be. You see, this is, it can be like personal, but you see, if physical, but spiritually, it is the same thing. Praise the name of the Lord. And that's why even churches may not be happy the way they are. And they will apply all sorts of things outside God's word. But that won't make it the church that God wants. The church that God wants has to stand on the foundation that God himself has laid. And that's the word of God. Praise the name of the Lord. That's where she has to stand. And she will be happy. She will be satisfied. She will praise God with all her heart, like David would say, I'll praise thee, Lord, with my whole heart. Huh? So because he sees what God has done. Amen. So, man, he wants to know how beautiful he is, how smart and clean he is. He's even happy, of course, when he's told how he looks like. But we become sensitive about what others comment about our appearances. And that's what also disorganizes people's mind. Maybe in my place, I don't know, here. A woman will wake up, put on a dress. When she walks and maybe no one has commented on that dress, she will think of changing it. Praise the name of the Lord. She feels she's not appealing. But let me tell you, you need to dress decently like the Bible says. And when you go, you are happy. You are not caring about the comments that people may make or might make. No. Inside you, there is a different voice. And that voice is the voice of God. Amen. It listens to what the word of God says. And let me tell you, the prophet talks about living in the matching time. Trying to match this with that. But he only said, you see, I want to match God's word. And there is God's voice. When it is in you, that's what you pursue. And that's what designs you. That's what molds you. That's what makes you contented. And whatever you do, however you walk, or you act, the word of God is molding your character. And it makes you happy when you know you are moving and living according to the word of God. Amen. Because you look at yourself and appreciate yourself for living according to the word of God. You're very pleased that way. Very happy, very contented. Praise the name of the Lord. You see? So you're not mind about how people look like and how people would want you to look like. You only want to be what God wants you to look like, knowing that the life you are living has to be the life that pleases him. Amen. And I believe the church of God is here to display that beauty of the Lord. Like one sang and said, let the beauty of the Lord be seen in me. And that's all. I think David had eyes to see that beauty of the Lord. And there is a reason why he was able to see it that way. It has to be in you. Then you will like it, you will enjoy it. You see? So he was happy. We become sensitive at times when others are commenting about how they want us to be like. But I would be very happy when I hear what the Word tells me, comments about my living. And that's what the Church of the Lord should be. Then you'll be happy. You'll start praising Him and glorify His name. So those comments affect our feelings at times. They can make you feel good or bad. Yeah? But you see, when the inner voice is talking good about you and your conscience is very clear, that keeps you joyful and happy from within, and you are not affected by what other voices speak. That's where Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Amen? And then he said, "They know not the voice or voices of the strangers." Simple. The voices outside God's word, they are for strangers. They are strange. And they are not for us to follow or emulate. We know one voice. That's the voice of our shepherd. It's just like a woman. She has to know the voice of her husband. There are other men. And some other men may be so enticing. Now, do you go with that voice? When a voice, you recognize the voice of your husband. Praise the name of the Lord. And when that voice speaks, yes, you know what to do, because it is the voice of your head. It's the only voice that you are married to. The church is the bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. She knows one voice that she has to recognize and abide by. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank God we have had a voice in our time. And it's the voice from our bridegroom through the messenger of our day in our place. When a boy is going to marry, or one family, there are people we choose to be a go-between. I've done that, played that role several times. But when I go to that family, I'm not giving that family my own message. Huh? I tell them that I'm sent. I'm a voice of someone behind me. And so when I go there, because they know I have a message, then they receive me. They are willing to ask, because all they want is not to know about me, but to know where their daughter is going to be married to. And the girl herself will wish to know more. She could come and maybe wants to know more about the boy or about the family. Yes, you will do that. But the time comes when you go there to make things more official, and maybe this time you are with the boy. This time, maybe if I was seated in a better seat, this time I would sit in a different way, because all the glory goes to the bridegroom, the young man. Praise the name of the Lord. So we need to recognize, to know that there is one voice that we have to take into our hearts, and it's that voice that is preparing us. It is that voice that makes us what the bridegroom wants us to be. Amen. And molds into us the character that he wants. And whatever we live is to please him, to make him happy. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me tell you, around that time, if the girl knows that, oh, the bridegroom-to-be is coming, I'm telling you, I don't know how many times she would wash herself or bathe and put on smartly, because she knows who she's going to meet. And I know the church is here to make herself ready. Amen. And good enough The bridegroom is making his mind known to her. And because of that, we are designing ourselves according to his voice. Because nothing will please him outside that voice. And it molds us into his likeness until the Bible says, when we shall see him, meet him, we shall be like him. So we are in the molding. We are in the molding and we are happy to be in that way. And if we love him, we just want to be like him. No wonder he could say, if you love me, obey my commandments. Obey my word. Any woman that loves the husband listens to his voice. Amen? And because the man also loves you, like Christ loves us, when we pray, he hears our prayers. He's willing because the Bible says he has loved us and given his life for us. Greater love has no man that he one lays down his life for his friends. So you can see he loved you so much that the only price he could pay for you was his own life. Amen. And he doesn't demand much from you. He only says, just keep my word. And the word you keep is for your own good, to design you to be more like God. And no one is glorious, is so precious, is beautiful like the Lord our God. And if you can see himself in you, then how grateful ought you to be? Now, the church, the bride of Jesus Christ, is in the molding. Amen. Molded to be like him. And no wonder the prophet would say, the spirit and the bride say, come. Then the prophet would show, speak the same thing. We are here just to echo his voice, to live that life that he wants us, he has placed us here to live. And that is to go by his word. And because of that, he makes himself more known to us. We get to know him. And the more you get to know him, the more you want to be like him. You'll never ever outgrow even your need for him. You'll still need to be like him. And the more you hear his voice, the more you realize you need him. The more you realize you need more of his molding, more of his shaping. I always love Jeremiah 18. When the Lord told him, go down to the potter. And when he reached the potter, he saw he was doing the molding work, pottery. And what he was making got mad, I think, didn't come out the way it ought to have been. And he had to mar it again. And then started afresh. Then the Lord was saying, I am the potter, you are the clay. I make, this is what I want to make out of you. And if you can't make what he wants you to be, then you are mad. He wants to produce himself through you. And if you can see him in you, then that's a very wonderful thing. Having that life of Christ. I mentioned a little this morning when I got saved. I never used to think I would leave the habits I used to be in. I didn't imagine I could, but when I found myself, I could quit smoking, drinking, and my life was so peaceful, at rest. I really said, God, why have you loved me so much as this? I never deserved that, but his goodness now was felt in my life. I tell you, I would be walking and my hands would be swinging, flying in the air, preaching to anything because I felt good in my life. Praise the name of the Lord. And my life changed. I felt happy with myself. I felt contented. I felt I could praise God. Even at any time I would get a corner, I would kneel and raise my hands and begin praising, thanking Him. Something good came into my life. And that was not my own making. It was the love of God Himself. The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, the only one who is so good. You can't help praising. You can't help magnifying Him, His name. And that's when you feel life at its best. A meaningful life. And then you begin to say, I am now a new creation. Tell me, if you are a new creation, in what form are you created? In what likeness are you created? Amen. And when you realize you are created, you are a new creation, you are created after the image or in the image of your creator. That's what the Bible says, Christ. And will you despise yourself again? Will you desire another appearance? Will you desire to look like the world again? Will you desire to walk the way you used to walk? You see, when we got saved at that time, we could begin singing, there is a high, wide change since I've been born again. I've been born. There is a great change since I've been born again. Because being born again, there is a form you take. There is a likeness you take. And that is Christ who becomes your new life. The Word. Are we together, friends? Amen. Appreciating. And what you appreciate is what is living in you. That is Christ. And at that time, you can't help but praising Him, blessing Him. We used to sing, I just came to praise the Lord. You feel you are living a life that praises the Lord, that glorifies the name of the Lord. And of course, if you live that life, that's what your life conforms to. You see that? It conforms to that new life, the life of your new birth. You're different. You are changed. You are transformed. You become a new creation. Amen. So, we know man wants to know how he looks like physically. And that's why he has made even a mirror just to reflect him. But I want you to know, God also made a mirror to reflect him. When God made man, he made him to reflect him here on earth by living his own life. And God was happy. And that's why the two could have fellowship together. The creation saw man as their God because man reflected God to every creation. And it was all committed to him for him to govern everything. Amen. So man created or made a mirror to reflect him, to show him how he looks like. Physically, you want to know how you look like. But it's more than that. Spiritually, you need to know how you look like. We measure more on the physical, and then we ignore what we should be spiritually. I believe when God sent his message or messenger was to show us the way and how we should be like in time like this, Because we have to be presented to the Lord as a chaste virgin, without a spot, without a wrinkle, without a blemish. And the prophet would show us how our rupturing faith is in the word that God has passed through him. Our perfect faith is in the word that has channeled through the prophet. Praise the name of the Lord. The truth has come again. And so, it is a mirror for you to look at yourself and see what you reflect, or your reflection now, how you look like. Are we together? Amen. And when you know how you look like spiritually, you live a life that will truly glorify the Lord. We normally sing to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. On earth, I long to be like him. You see that? Just from earth to glory, all you ask, you desire, is to be like him. But then how do you get to be like him? Yeah? You can't desire to be like something you don't know. Are we together? You can't desire to be something you don't know. You have to know what you want to be like. The Bible says, they that know him. We have to know him. We want to be like him. And the only way we can know him is through his word, because he's the word. And when we get that revelation of that word, that voice, what it talks about, it molds us into his likeness. Amen. And when you come here, you know what you want to be like. You don't come because you want to gather with the rest. You come because you want to meet your molder. And you can't live here the same, because you have been in a kind of a template that is forming you, shaping you, molding you. And by the time you get out, you have taken a new shape. And that's what we should be. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. So, you just look at yourself in the mirror. Amen. And then when you see maybe something is not right, you try to put yourself right according to what you have seen. And you know what you want to be like. So you try to make yourself be what you want to be, or to be like. But now, we know our prophet tells us that the natural types, the spiritual, you need a good flat mirror to reflect you exactly how you look like. Do you know mirrors are not actually in the same shape? You know, when I was in a secondary school, they could bring to us different mirrors. Some are convex, I think. Others are concave type. Others are like bowel, like that. And you look at yourself in a mirror like this, you are upside down. And you look at this one like that, you warp inside and the head is like this. You look funny. And it will never, and if it is like this, you find, you will never know how you look like. Because whatever mirror you look through is deforming you, is projecting you the way you are not. You see that? And let me tell you, it is so important to know that actually whatever mirror, maybe the word, a message, anything, you see yourself through, will design you the way it is made. Denominations know how to design their own people. You understand? Religions know how to design their own people. But the word knows how to reflect you. Huh? Rightly.
And that's why we need the truth all the time. We are glad when we see the truth being preached. And with a revelation showing us all the truth. Some of us, we never knew the Lord's name. Though we claim to preach. That's why when it would come to baptisms, it would be the name of the Father, Son, and you will never know, is that a name? You see that? We never knew that. But thank God for the truth, the light, the evening light that has come in this hour to tell us the truth, to show us the truth. Huh? My brother was trying to project something here. Yes. This is what actually we never knew before. I didn't know. We were oneness in our own thinking. And even when the scriptures were so plain, but we couldn't know that God had a son, we just knew the son was God and that's all how. And yet the prophet would say he couldn't be his own father. Huh? You see, even the words themselves are so clear, but we would never wanted the Bible to speak what we never thought we needed it was. So we wanted to correct it and go the way we thought was good for us. Amen. Yeah, we need men. You know, at times we feel sorry when the elders seem to be phasing out. Huh? And the truth tends to follow them. But we should pray. I was asking the brother whether we are able to mold other ministers who could move around with the truth. But I wonder how many have the vision today. You understand? You know, when I heard my brother was sick, I couldn't even help shedding some tears. And it was worse when I talked with him and I heard how he was speaking. You see, it was quite touching. But we are praying and we thank God the voice is still on. But I want you to understand, look, many elders, many people are going on and a new generation is coming up. And the new generation may not be holding the truth the way these old people, maybe our elders did. But it's my prayer that the seed continues to grow, to keep up. Amen. So there are different mirrors that people want to see themselves through. But there is one we need, and that's the true mirror, the truth, the word. Amen. And then we can look at ourselves and see exactly how God has made us and what he wants us to be, and we'll start praising the Lord. And praising God, worshiping God has to be in spirit and truth. If there is no truth in whatever you're doing, then you are looking at something else. See, we need the truth. And then it molds us the right way, and we come up the way God wants us to come up. That's very beautiful. Now, we know our prophet tells us that the natural types, the spiritual, you need a good flat mirror to reflect you exactly how you look like. As I have said, some mirrors are so perverted. And if you use a deformed mirror that is either concave or convex, whatever it is, you won't see yourself right. Some mirrors you use show you as if you are completely messed up or upside down.
Some will totally disfigure you in trying to fix yourself. Using that mirror, you find you are furthermore deforming yourself. You are completely going further away from what God wants you to be. But if you go according to the mirror of the word, you are molded each day into his likeness, and you are being conformed to his image. And that's what the bride has to be in, because as you are presented, there is no spot, no wrinkle, no blemish. You are perfect. And the Lord will take a perfect bride who has been truly, properly shaped, molded by the word. Now, David says these words. Don't let ourselves be molded beyond repair. David says these words, I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And that's what we have to do. If you know that, and you know it right well, then there you will never allow anything to disfigure you. To distort the mold God wants you in. So, which mirror did he use to see himself through? Psalm 119, 9 to 12. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? He said, by taking heed thereto according to his word. So one way you have to walk, you have to live, you have to heed. Do whatever you do according to his word. Then he says, with my whole heart, not half-heartedly, full heart. He said, I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Let me not stray from your word. Let me not move outside this truth. Let's stay with it. It molds, it keeps you steadily living and walking in his way. That protects you, that molds you, that shapes you, that beautifies you. Hallelujah. And then he says, you see how David is looking at that mirror. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Simple. Sin is a deformer. And we know how man first got deformed. Because of sin, unbelief. Praise the name of the Lord. But David knew the man got deformed because he stepped outside God's word. Now, how could he keep himself well, free from that deformation? Then he said, thy word have I hid into my heart that I might not sin against thee. That I might not walk away, get myself messed up and deformed. Then he said, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. And that's what God has got to do. He has to teach you his ways. He says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And that's why we are encouraged to put on the mind of Christ, the mind of God. We will think the way God thinks. We will go the way God goes. He says, my ways are not your ways. We will give up our own ways to take up his ways. Because he says there is a way that seems good to man, but the end of it is death. But the ways of God are life. Amen? Because his word shows us the right way to take, and then we are safe. So, when he says, I have hidden that word in my heart and I can't sin against you, then he says, teach me your statutes. And a child of God, the bride of the Lord, will always want to learn from the Lord. And the more you learn from the Lord, the more you are molded, the more everything runs well with you. You will never stray. Everything will be well. See, what molds you? What are those statutes to you? David goes on and tells us in Psalm 119, 103 to 105. He says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. You see, we had a variety of foods at the table down there. They never could give the same taste. You see that? And I want you to understand, not all the words can give the same taste, but God's word has a special taste. And once you have tasted the goodness of the Lord, you know, David would say, oh, test and see that the Lord is good. And of course, nothing could be sweeter or better than him once you have tested him. Amen. So he says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste? Yeah, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now, something sweeter, you always want to test. The word of God to the bride being so sweet, you will never want to miss it. You understand? Thank you for some of you who have stayed. You know, okay, we have many commitments, maybe some go away, but all I can say, in my life, I never wanted to miss testing the word whenever I know it is being preached. One time when I was in school, we were having the first conference in a girls' school. And there was a young boy, I thought, who expressed he wanted to go for that conference. But his intentions were different because maybe we were going to a girls' school. He dressed unceasingly, puts on this, doesn't finish. He's just there and he was delaying me until the truck left me, the school truck. Then after that, I said, okay, now let's walk. He couldn't accept that, no. I tell you, I was so disappointed, but I started running after the truck. It was like 7 kilometers maybe away. I reached, I found the preachers had not started preaching. And then I heard them. That was the first time I heard this song. Where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end. Tell me, where could I go but to the Lord? Oh my, I was wondering whether it was being sung by three people, but it was touching me. And then the young men who started preaching, they said, we are the ambassadors of Christ. I was looking at them, whether they were three or not, but they started preaching the word. One had a guitar, started singing. My tears were coming up my face. I really felt if I missed this fellowship or this conference, I would have remained empty. Amen. And that's when I prayed. I said, God, I need even to learn a guitar to praise you with it. And God answered my prayers. But my life was never the same. I was very glad. The word of God tunes you beyond your understanding. And it makes you fall more and more in love for Jesus. Let me tell you, we are married, some of us, we are married people. Do you know, the more you tell your wife you love her, the more even it becomes a reality. And the more she feels good. Women, don't you like to hear your husband tell you so? Let me tell you. Do you know why we come to hear the word of God? We want Christ's love expressed to us. And the more we hear his word, the better we become. And the more we fall in love with him. That's very beautiful. And the more we submit ourselves to him, the more he feels good. The more he comes closer to us. The more he unveils himself to us. Praise the name of the Lord. So, this is what we see. How sweet are thy words to my taste. So I wonder whether we can tell our Lord Jesus Christ and say, how sweet are your words. And because you hear of those precious words, the more you fall in love with him, the more you want to worship him, the more you want to praise him, the more you want to surrender yourself to him. Amen. Because let me tell you, we have to have that perfect love for the Lord before we get into the rapture. Yes, and that's why God has sent to us somebody to unveil him, his voice to us in this hour. It makes us fall in love more and more to him, or with him. So it says, the words are sweeter than honey to my mouth. Then he goes on and says, through thy precepts, I get understanding. Through his precepts, you get more understanding. And the more you get the understanding, the more you hate every false way. The more you can never be deceived by any other way. If you love your husband, the more you will never ever desire to hear any other voice flirting with you. No. If you want anything to grieve you, then it's that. So if we love Christ in such a way, we can never substitute his voice with any other voice. We will love this truth, stand with this truth, go with this truth, and each day we will be falling in love with him. And then we will desire, we will be praying, even so, Lord Jesus, come. That's how we prepare to meet him. Because you want him. Amen. You want to see him. You want to be with him. You set your mind on things above. We cease wasting our time. The world cannot pull you away from him. He becomes number one in your life. You are thinking about him, dreaming about him. You see? Because you love him. And then he wants to be guided by his word. Till he says, your word is a lamp unto my feet, is a light unto my path. That's all he wants to walk in, to be guided of. You love him so much that
No word from him vexes you.
Every word is sweet. You are obedient to every word. You love him. Oh, hallelujah. So as I said, through God's perfect mirror, the word, David saw himself right. And you see yourself right. He saw God's beauty in himself. The world might not have seen it, but that never bothered him. Because what David saw drove the world out of him. What we have seen in this word, what we have seen in this message, drives the world out of the bride of Jesus Christ. Oh, I love him. I want to see him. There should be a thorough yearning within you, within the bride today, desiring to see him, and that makes her prepared every time. You know, the Bible says, grieve not the Spirit. Amen. And the Spirit has been left behind to watch over you, to guide you, to lead you, to keep you reminded of him, to magnify his voice into your ears, into your heart, to keep you ready, conscious of his presence, so that no other voice take you away or takes you away from him. You keep being reminded of that truth, keep being reminded of the word, and you are led of the same. Amen. So he saw God's beauty. The world may not have, you know, may not have seen it, but that never bothered him, because David saw, kept the world out. You see, the world is watching. What is in you, the world may not understand, but you can't live like the world. You can't behave like the world, because that which is in you transforms you and keeps you farther away from the world. Glory to God. So, now how did David treat himself? So he behaved himself according to what the mirror reflected to him, that is the word. He saw himself perfectly in the perfect mirror of God's word, and what he saw led him to contentment. You get so contented by what the word shows you are. You are happy with that. Like the Bible says, godliness with contentment is a great gain. You can't gain anything above that. Amen. You are happy, you are contented, you are satisfied when you know you have been led by the word of God, you are in God's will, nothing can move you. You are the happiest. You are contentment, you know, like what the prophet mentioned, you know, saying that, I'm forgetting the words, how he put them, but it is also in the scriptures. It's not in how much you have, you remind me that, but how contented you are with the little that you possess, you understand? So it's not in abundance. And many times we think we can be contented by in the abundance of what we possess now.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then other things will be added unto you.
And you find you are contented, you are happy, you are satisfied. Glory to God. So, that made him to appreciate how God made him and began to praise him and made him to desire to keep that form in which he saw himself reflected. Then he said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee." Then he said, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." He wanted to keep guided by that mirror which showed him the right way to be. Then he said in Psalm 119, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my soul." Then he said, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." That means he never wanted to direct his foot outside the way God was guiding or leading. And that's what we ought to be. You know, Satan always presents his mirror to challenge God's mirror. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden, and that's what he keeps doing today. You understand? The devil has never changed his tactics too. Because in Genesis 3:1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yeah, hath God said," and I want you to see where he was revolving. On what God said. "Has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" So the devil's attack was on that mirror, the word. Did God say? Why was he interested in that? Because he knows the moment he deforms it a little, you are finished. You cease to see yourself the way you saw yourself. You go amiss. You see? Then see what happens. "And he said unto the woman, Yeah, hath God said, ye shall not eat?" No. Listen, let me go again. "And he said unto the woman, Yeah, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Still, he's trying to follow what God said. This is the first question we find in the Bible. Because when God gave the word, he never gave questions. He gave the word, period, finished. Where questions come, there is a trouble, problem. He never ministered or gives out questions. He gives the word. When questions come, then there is a problem. And Satan introduces the first question. And it was an attack he was using against God's word, of which man was to live according to the word of God. So you can see, so it is challenging what God said to man. "Yeah, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" It's attacking what God said. Then we see, because in chapter 2, Genesis, he says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. See what Satan's mirror reflects now. 3:4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. That's a real past version of God's mirror now. Genesis 3:5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Still he goes on to pervert the mirror. From there, man lost his sight, or the sight of his beauty, reflected by God's mirror, that is God's word. He began fabricating his own lifestyle, his beauties, his ways, and so forth. Satan's mirror perverted everything that man saw through his mirror. He saw himself totally naked. That's what he had never seen. But now you begin to see what Satan presents. It discloses you of what God has clothed you with. It deforms you. It makes you naked. It makes you living a life that God never intended you to live. So your beauty is gone until you wanted to hide under something else. Let me tell you, do you know why people want to behave the way God never created them to behave? There is something they are trying to hide. Something is wrong. You understand? And people are not happy the way God made them. If God made you as a man, he's happy to see you a man, acting like a man, living like a man, behaving like a man. And if God created you as a woman, he's happy to see you a beautiful woman, living like a woman, behaving like a woman. You see that? That's the glory God wants you in. But we are living in a perverted world. People are never happy with the way God has made them, and that brings confusion. A man wants to behave like a woman. And we hear of transgenders, we hear of what? That's the most foolish thing one should do. God is happy because the Bible says whatever God made, he was happy to see it that way. Why do you think Deuteronomy would say a woman should not wear that which belongs to a man, and a man should not wear that which belongs to a woman? And it says, he, they that do such, is an abomination. Now, we are looking even at it in the form of the garments. But our behavior alone is even worse. You understand? A man, live as a man. Reflect Christ as a man. A woman, live like a woman. God is happy when we live like that. The word of God places us in that order, and God is happy to see us in that order. Because we are living in the time when there is a lot of perversion, and the perversion has been accepted by the world. But we are not of the world. We have been transformed. And that's why the world should see you and say, hey, how do you live? Yes, it's the word that has made me into what I am. And I live according to the word, not according to the styles and fashions the world has set up. You see that? And you are happy that way. When you are building your house, you have a better foundation. And what foundation are you building your home? The world doesn't provide foundations. The word has laid a foundation. The Lord Jesus said, he who hears my word and does what the word says is like a wise man who digs. I like the way Luke puts it. Digs deep until he gets on to the rock. And we know the rock can talk of the revelation too. And then you build your house there. Winds will blow. Waters will run. Every other doctrine will come up. No wind of doctrine will move you up. You will know where you are set, where you are established, and you will be happy to live what the word says, live. Be the best you can according to the word. That's the mirror. Praise the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So, when man lost the way, listened to a different word, then we see from there he lost the true beauty God had provided to him until he began to be ashamed of himself. You imagine. You know, sin brought shame for the first time. Yes. Going out of God's way breeds shame. You'll find families are no longer hinging around God's word. They begin to fabricate their own way and lifestyles. It doesn't work that way. The word is the light. Amen. It builds a home on a perfect foundation ground. So when man fell, you know, for the first time began to fabricate his own way of covering himself and appearing under certain fabricated things, artificial or leaves and so forth. Satan's mirror perverted everything that man saw, you know, when he saw through that mirror. He saw himself totally naked. He began fabricating his own way of presenting himself. He avoided God's mirror, God's word. Let me tell you, God stayed in his way because his way doesn't change. I hope I'm not going out of the camera. Hallelujah. He kept in his way. I mean, God kept. And when he came, he knew where he found man, where they fellowshipped together. Did he find man there? Man had run hiding when he heard the voice. Now, what had become wrong with the voice? God's word doesn't change. God's voice remains the same. But when you run away from it, things are wrong. And the reason why churches are in a mess is because they have left the truth, left the word. Love is gone. See? We fight each other. It's the thing that never used to be so. Let me tell you when the message came to my place. Actually, we at times never bothered much how much one knew, how much one did know. At least we loved one another until when I would hear, there's someone, I'm told, someone believes something similar to what you believe. I would walk 50 kilometers plus on foot. I didn't have a bicycle. We would walk on foot. Brother Robert knows. Just will go up to Kanyantorogo or to Kayonza or even to Mpungu. Those are terrible places. Walk. You start in the morning, reach in the evening. And when you reach there, tired, worn out, and you find that brother, and he tells you he believes the message, you know what would you do? You would forget all about the fatigue. And we start singing in that language. They were somewhere singing in the Chinyarwanda. But the song they were singing is that God has willed us that we get to know one another.
And we are so refreshed when we could find each other. But let me tell you that today, brother, next door, you cannot even greet each other. Then you begin to see what kind of mirror now. What is happening is the falling away from the word, from the truth.
Huh? But let me tell you, as long as God has brought you together, let's keep in the truth. Let's love fellowship. Let's love one another. Amen? And let's keep obedient to the word. Let's love fellowship. That will help us. It will keep us encouraging one another. Amen. So Satan's mirror perverted everything that man saw. Through this mirror, he saw himself totally naked. He began to manufacture his way of appearance. But you see, God never appreciated that. And he began to run away from the truth. And that's why people can begin even to criticize the truth, to criticize the word. Genesis 3:8. And they heard the voice of the Lord, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves. So it's the man hiding from the true voice, from the truth. Huh? From the presence of the Lord, God among us, the trees of the garden. You know, outside God's mirror, you'll never be contented with what you are. You understand? Because at that time there is shame. You are no longer happy. Why? When man was happy with the way he was always waiting for God to come and they have fellowship. But when the mirror was so distorted, now he's running away because he's seeing himself, a perverted man. Let me tell you, this is the truth. If your life is not right with God, you'll not be happy to be in his presence. But if your life is right, you will enjoy fellowship. You will enjoy to be in his presence. But if it's not right, you want to be, to run away. That's why the Bible says correction is grievous to somebody who has gone out of the way. Because you can imagine at that time, even when God came and he's calling, man is saying, I heard your voice and I was afraid because I'm naked. What's wrong? What happened? And you know what followed next? He started saying, when the Lord said, what is it? Who told you you are naked? In other words, there is something that told him. What made him become what he became? There is another voice. And then he began to give an excuse. He couldn't even accept his mess. He said, it's the wife you gave me. Now he wants to attach God on his mess. What you gave me is responsible. Okay. Now blaming. And the woman, she couldn't also accept it. Is this happened? Maybe you are the one who created it. You know, it is just like that, and man is very hard to accept his mess. I wish, even when all those things happened, they still could run to meet God and say, help us, things have gone wrong. But it's always hard for man to even repent and correct his way, go back to the truth. Amen. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems, or which seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Ecclesiastes 7:29 tells us, lo, this only have I found, that God has made man upright, but they have sought out inventions. So man finding inventions outside God's word. And what made that? What resulted? What brought? What happened thereafter? Man was completely corrupted. Got messed up. Now, I'm trying to get towards the cross. Man's beauty was the word. The word is God. So man was made in the image of God, in his likeness. Man living the life of the word. He was God to the world. The prophet already said he was an amateur God. The Bible tells us that God created man in his image and that in his likeness made he him. Nothing is as perfect as God. And in fact, the Bible says, be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. So, unless you see God in your life, there is no perfection at all. That's why Paul could write, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Jesus would say, without me, you can do nothing. The only beauty we can have is Christ in us. The only beauty the church can have is Christ in us again. Hallelujah. And that's what the world needs. Then you'll be the light of the world. Amen. So, the Bible tells us God made man in his own image, in his likeness, made he him. Nothing is as perfect as God is. Then nothing was created the way man was created. Because we know all other creation, he just spoke them into existence. But when it came to man, he said, let us make man in our image. And in the image of God, man was made, and in that likeness, man was created. Man was the super creation and superior to all creation. His life was that of his creator. That's beautiful. And he was to reflect his creator to the rest of creation. He was the perfect image of God till all creation revered him as God. Listen, I like this scripture in Psalm 115, 15 to 16. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of man. You know, it's the Bible says, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. You know, he created two. But he knew heaven was his, the earth was man's. But still, God, because the Bible says, the earth and the fullness thereof is the Lord's. Still, God was in control. That's why the word of God was still the life that man lived as light and life. And that's the same life that was God's life that the creation revered through man. Praise the name of the Lord. And when man got perverted from that, he lost everything. Even a simple mosquito cannot respect you. It will come and show that it is also tough and leaves you sick, especially in our place. Here, I've not had a mosquito buzz around my ears. I would have run and asked for a mosquito net. Huh?
But in my place, we sleep under nets because we know our mosquitoes are aggressive. And you give them a chance, then they leave you sick. Amen. My brother Brian used to fear mosquitoes. At one time, he even made me to go to Rwanda to book him a hotel in Rwanda where the mosquitoes may not disturb him. Yeah, and it would be bad for him to come sick with malaria. And you know, you people here, maybe if you consulted him, he would possibly know how to treat malaria, because he's a medical man, because he knows how we cure malaria. Amen. But here, because you are not used to that, you may find there is no malaria medicine around or readily available. Amen. So, a mosquito is very tiny, very tiny. But you can imagine how it can make man suffer. Just because of man's falling away from the word. Every creature used to respect him. But when once perverted from the word, man lost his power. Lost the image of God. And let me tell you, that's why you realize today, churches have even lost respect. See? Why? Because the word has gone. The glory of the church is the word in that church. The beauty of the church, the prophet says, the character of the people in the church. And the very character of the people has to be molded by the word of God. So man is given the earth to rule over it, to be a god over it, to display the beauty, the glory of God over it. God was happy to see himself in man, to see his tremendous beauty in man, till every evening he would come to enjoy fellowship with him. God loves to fellowship with the people that truly love him. Amen. You know, when you read Isaiah 57, verse 15, God dwells on his holy hill with those of a contrite heart, meek, humble spirit. You know, not anybody. There was no difference between heaven and earth, because what took place in heaven was what was taking place in earth, or in the earth. God's will was done on earth as it is, or it was done in heaven. Heaven and earth kissed each other in love. God and man enjoyed fellowship at its best. None saw any blemish in the other. You know, the Bible says, can two walk together except they agree? Man and God agreed. And so they enjoyed the fellowship. So man was the mirror in which God saw himself, and the earth was the mirror in which the heaven was reflected. And in the cool of the evening, you could see the two kings of the same mind, the same life, the same likeness, the same beauty, walking together in the Garden of Eden, being admired by the rest of the creation. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And that time, as they marched, every creation saluted them in reverence. Now, the word was life and the light of man. And in man's redemption, there had to be the restoration of the word. And we know the church fell, but the restoration of the bride tree, it has to take the word, the restoration of the word first. I hope we understand. And then we see where we are going. Something has to be restored.
So the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Not the flesh becoming God. That's what we have to know. You know, when our brother started teaching us, he would tell us and would see, of course, what the message was saying. People looked at the flesh, the body of Jesus, and they called it God. He said, no, that was not God. That was the Son of God. Then we could see the flesh could die. The flesh could grow. The flesh could be tempted and so many things. So we understand. God revealed himself in the flesh, but then we know when he did it. The prophet said God wasn't even in Christ. You see that? Until the River Jordan baptism. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, God left him. He had to die as a sacrifice. Because if he went as God to the cross, no one would have killed him. You can't kill God. See? So now what happened in redemption? We have to see the restoration of the word. And this word came in the flesh, put on flesh. In a better way, to show us the way we lost. Then he could sum the way, the truth, and life. He came through the woman because through the woman, sin came. God is correcting the error. I like it that way. Because you see, the devil beguiled the woman. But when God was correcting that error, the spirit came to the woman. Eve heeded the wrong voice. Mary heeded to the right voice. Eve produced brought death. But what Mary produced brought life. Correcting the error. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So let's see. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, not the flesh becoming God, no, but God once again reflecting himself through the human flesh. Jesus coming as the second Adam, reflecting God once again to God's foreign creation in order to turn it back to the right direction. And we know, in Luke 4:18, when he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. This was to restore us to the original. I want to do reading now so that I conclude, because if I keep chipping in, we may tarry longer. I want to be disciplined a bit. So restoring to us the right mirror through which we could see ourselves right. This would lead us to praise and worship God in spirit, you know, and truth. You know, God in that flesh of Jesus shows us what God wanted man to be, to look like, and God was pleased to be in Christ. God wants to be pleased to be in us. God wants to be the life he wants us to live. And if we can yield ourselves in that way, then we shall look at ourselves the way God looks at us, wants us to be. And we shall also begin to praise God for that beauty that is displayed in us. Now, the Bible is saying in 2 Corinthians, would to God you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. You see? Now, the deception of the Old Testament in the garden is now Satan has thrown over, spilled over to the church in the New Testament. And it, as it left Adam naked, it leaves the church naked. And do we doubt what is the condition of Laodicean church? Is she not naked? What is making her naked? Don't you think it's the same deception? Amen. But we need the voice of God today to get us back to the true way. And when Paul, the first messenger of the Gentile church, was ministering to the Galatians, this is what he said: my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. So the word has to form Christ in the church. And I believe our messenger was travailing to restore Christ in the bride, to restore Christ in the church today. And we are happy when we see what we see, when we hear the voice we have heard or we are hearing. The purpose is to get us back to the foundation until the Bible, when it is talking about Malachi 4, then there has to be Elijah turning the hearts of the children back to the fathers. That's what we need. That's what will clothe us. That's what will bring a change, a transformation again in our lives. So, once again, many people never appreciate themselves. And they don't because something has gone missing. It has to come back. When it comes back, the church will appreciate itself. The believers will appreciate themselves. Sisters will appreciate themselves. Brothers will appreciate themselves. And we shall all try to live fulfilling the purpose for which God has placed us here. To live a life of the Word. To reflect Christ to one another. And the church of Christ has got to be that way. Praise the name of the Lord. Churches which are designed to be what they see in the Word. They are supposed to be what you see in the Word, or what they see in the Word. They now live what they see in the world. See, that's perversion. They have changed the mirrors. Men are no longer men of the Word, and women are no longer women of the Word. We have a lot to learn from. Amen. We have a lot to learn from. You go to Peter 3, we'll tell you how we have to live. We go to Ephesians 5, we are told how men have got to be like Christ to their women, and women have to be submissive. You know, that word at times has lost meaning these days, but the word of God does not change. And we shall enjoy our family lives. It will be wonderful. Amen. Men are no longer men. Women are no longer women according to the word. They have changed the mirrors. This has ruined the church and also the family life. The mirror of God's word places everyone in his or her right place, where there will be peace. and seeing yourself through the wrong mirror bring lots of friction against one another. You won't see yourself as you would. Through God's perfect mirror, you will praise God for what he made you to be and fully accept it. The man will know what he's meant to be, living a life that reflects Christ to the wife, and the wife will live to the husband a sweet life of submission to her husband as unto the Lord. I would like to tell you a testimony. Of course, I may not go very deep. We know this story about the woman that was married to a drunkard. But she was a Christian. Despite the harsh conditions she was living under, that never washed away her Christianity. She knew what she was, and she never ceased to praise God, even under such a harsh conditions. You know, it doesn't change you. You are what you are. Once a pig, you remain a pig. Once a lamb, you remain a lamb. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, in my place, a drunkard went to his friend and he gave him a dog because he wanted a dog. But on the way, he went to a bar to drink, and there were kids there that had a small piglet. And they looked at it and said, but this one, we can't even pet it, it is bad. So what they did, actually it was a pig. They gave him a pig. And now, when he reached a drinking place, he placed the sack down, and the children had a small puppy. And they saw the pig, and it looked so good and fat, they pulled it out and placed the dog in the bag. And the man came after drinking and was carrying the what? Let me not step out. I want to behave the way I behave at home. And so he carried the bag, the sack. When he reached home, he was a bit drunk, but he said, my wife come. He was happy. He said, this time I brought you a pig. You are going to take care of it. You wanted it. Oh. And the wife was excited. When she came, she opened the sack, and the dog came out and said, you. And actually, it was sparking almost a quarrel. Huh? Is that the pig you have said? And when the man came, said it was a dog. He said, so, this friend of mine, instead of giving me a pig, he gave me a dog. And now, he put it back. And he was going this time to fight and quarrel with his friend for deceiving him. But he passed the same place to take at least another bottle to give him more fuel to go and do what he wanted to do. So the children already, they saw the behavior of a pig. It was so terrible. So the moment they saw the man placing the bag down, going into the bar, they wanted their puppy and pulled it out immediately and placed the pig back. And the man came and picked his sack, going to his friend. He said, you, did I tell you I needed a dog? Why did you give me a dog instead of a pig? He said, no, I gave you a pig. Then the man placed down the sack and opened. The pig came out. The man looked at it and was confused. And you know what he said? He said, you, if you want to be a pig, be a pig. If you want to be the dog, be the dog. So it was now confusion. You see that? So he pulled it back and went. This time it remained a pig. But after sparking out some confusion, So at times we don't know what we want to be. So, that woman stayed a Christian despite the conditions until even the husband, when he was with his men, and the argument came up about Christianity, no one, there is no Christian today. The man said, no, I have one at home. I should come and show him to you. I mean, show her to you. They went and pretended this time to be even very drunk. Of course, we know the story. They asked for the woman to prepare, gave them something, served them. The man was a bit drunk, you know, claiming to be drunk. And when that was served, she kicked the same down. And you know, at least your husband can do that. But those other guests who are even strangers, when they also team up and start laughing and ridiculing everything, you feel bad. You can bear with your husband, but not with strangers. But you see, she remained composed. And then she said, she came and apologized. I wonder which woman among us can behave like that. You feel you are mistreated or abused in a way, and you humble yourself to apologize. That would be very strange. It takes grace. But she came and said, I'm sorry. Let me prepare. Eat the way you want, maybe. And the other ones were laughing. But through that humility, you know, they had her cleaning up, and then she was singing that song we have in the songbook 89. Must Christ bear the cross alone and all others go free? If this be the cross I have to bear, I will gladly bear it. Who can bear that? And do you know what happened at that time? They started looking at that, at each other, and they said, oh, she's got it. She has it. And finally, they were all so touched and they knelt down. She led them to Christ. That's victory. You know, at times we think humility is weakness, but it is power. No wonder the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and I will do what? Exalt you. I will lift you up. Amen. So, that's a beautiful testimony. The perfect mirror shows who you are and makes you recognize what you are. Now, from the message, identification, let me conclude with that. What Branham said, Brother Branham said, the old-fashioned home used to be, they had a full mirror at a door. So the little boy, he got to his auntie's house, and he was running around like any little boy would. And they noticed him, and he started to walk up the steps. And as he did, at the head of the steps, when he was getting close to the head of the steps, he began to see another little boy appearing. And he stopped and looked at the little boy, cause it was, and said, he waved at him. And he waved back at him. But you see, still when he's doing that, he's not recognizing that that was him. And he kept getting closer and closer, watching the little fellow. First thing, he reached out his hand. He looked around. His parents was watching him. Cause he had never seen a mirror before, he said. But you know, somehow his eyes opened. Praise the name of the Lord. He had never seen the mirror before. So he said, "Well, that's me." Amen.
You know, we need to see ourselves through the mirror. And we get to know who we are. What do you think the boy could have felt knowing that was him? At that time, he was able to identify how he was like. We need to identify that, and we can begin to praise God for the beauty he has endowed us with. And we shall be happy to live the life we need to keep living. Praise the name of the Lord. For the mirror will reflect back to you what you are, not something else. And when you get to understand, you get stimulated, excited. Oh, Mama, that is me. God, that is me. Thank you so much for making me the way I am. Let me be what you have made me to be. And you will be glad and live a life full of contentment, ready to praise him and accept the way God has gloriously made you. And that's what he wants his church to be likewise. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Our most precious Father, we know we are living in the world of perversion. Many times we don't even understand what we are and what we ought to be. And we are not even as grateful as we ought to be, accepting the way you have made us and wanting to live the way we ought to be living. Many times we have failed, Lord, until we live so discontented with ourselves and want to be what you never created us to be. But God, through your word, we pray that your light will shine in our lives. We reflect you in us, and then until we shall also reflect you back even to the world. Be merciful to us, and I want to thank you for these precious people, precious children of yours, precious souls. God Almighty, it's my prayer. Continue to keep us desiring and yearning to be what you created us to be. May we see you always in us and continue thanking you, glorifying you for how wonderfully and gloriously you have made us. And always love to be before you in fellowship, praising you and serving you with your own within your spirit's borders. Grant it, Lord. I want to appreciate the ministers you have placed here, more especially our brother that you have used in this place. Continue blessing him. Continue giving him good health. Your word says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" God, I'm praying that all keeps well with him, with his wife, with the family, and even the families that you bring around, that they may enjoy fellowshipping one with another as we wait for your coming. Lord, that nothing will be a hindrance between us and you, O Lord, that will hinder us from going home with you. Grant it, Heavenly Father, and I praise you, Lord, for whatever has been shared. Bless it and let it continue to be an eye-opener to us all, watered in us to bring forth fruit. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. May God bless you. We give all the glory to Jesus and tell of his love. And tell of his love. We give all the glory to Jesus and tell of his wonderful love.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Ben.
Amen.
Sorry. Amen. We enjoy having you here. And boy, did we get more ammunition and usability for our quiver, if you want to call it that. Amen. One, we got a playbook. Satan's tactics have never changed. He mirrors God's tactics. And he'll use his word and try to pervert it right back to you. Amen. So we know what he's done in the past, he's going to try to do again. Amen.